Okay, so we'll have two.
Take a look at it. He didn't post it for me. He posted it for me. He worked for the company.
And just to kind of summarize this, as I mentioned to you, this came up as a result of doing an article for Burke County Notebook for the Morganton News Herald. And the article was about the West Concord Mothers. And I think, was it you, Andrea, that told me about Chris or Gary?
Jeannie.
Told me, yeah, and y'all's mother was Miss Lucille, right?
Right.
So that's how we got connected. And what I would like to do is just kind of hear your stories, you know, your thoughts and reflections about that time. And what I'm planning to do with it is just to transcribe it, which means just take a, you know, have somebody type up our conversation, save it for research. You know, for future research, like Chris talked about writing a book about it. Well, somebody could very well use this research to write a book about it. Mm-hmm. So there's already a little bit of information that's been collected by the History Museum downstairs. I think they're 5 or 10 minute interviews. Mm-hmm. So they don't go into any detail.
Yeah, that's the information that they did with mothers with it. Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just to add to that and to create a storehouse for these stories, because you know what I learned from listening to Andrea, I was in desegregation, but I was on the tail end of it. So, you know, I think the little kids got an easier time with it. So some of the stories that I hear are stories that need to be preserved, I think. You know, so people understood that there was a battle going on with young kids. It was hard for young people.
It was to me, it's painful.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very, for the way you were treated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, ungodly.
Wow.
Being a child that young, you would never think another human being would stoop to treat you so bad just because you want to go to school in a different color.
Right. Before you start, let me get you to spell your name for me.
Okay.
And tell me a little bit about what age you were at this time.
Okay. My name is spelled Chris Tobley Johnson. I was in the 7th grade. I left Mountain View Elementary School, went to the 7th grade, and first of all, there was just maybe 5 or 6 of us.
Mm-hmm.
They split us up. You don't have no power if you are separated.
Right.
They split us up once per class. You had nobody to identify with. You had nobody to sit and look to. You had nobody to talk to in class with. Mm-hmm. You go on a field trip, you were isolated. You sat in the back of the bus all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And they made sure that you got back there, because they said, get back there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, it's awful. Mm-hmm. I used to wait, the greatest time was to get out of school and run up to Moulton High where my sister and brother was, for their protection, to go home. That was the highlight of my day. And the dread of my morning was walking with my brother to school, and knowing I was going to leave him. And all my protection was gone.
Is that Richard?
Yeah. You got to school, it was called a nigger. Mm-hmm. In class.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
When they talked about the slave, they say the nigger. We say, we're not nigger. We're Negro. They look at you like that's what you say.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't try to talk about it, correct it. They just go right on. You didn't have no voice. You didn't have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That was one. And it was even worse walking to school. If I went alone, my brother had to go somewhere, my sister had to go alone. To walk from Bushell to there, I was just scorned by the blacks.
Why was that?
Because they said my mother thought we were too good to go to school with them. And Mountain View was just right below my house.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I had to walk across town. So they said, why would Mrs. Lucille send y'all across town when the school's right below your house? So you had to be bullied to get past the black section, to get up to the white section, so you could be cruelly bullied and treated cruelly.
Mm-hmm.
There was no place for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now how long was it from when y'all went early to the white
year.
Schools? It was the next
the
year,
next year.
Yeah, when the rest of them.
Yeah, it was total integration.
Yeah. That was, and that's why it's so hard on because they said, why can't you wait?
Right.
You know, everybody said, why they think y'all so good? Y'all can't wait. Mm-hmm. So you got, and then we were out of school, and Lamar Junior, I didn't have school. We had a free day, and you sitting excited about seeing the black kids, you know, mm-hmm. coming from school. They don't want to be bothered. They, you know, they call your names too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
They talk pure junk to you. You too good. They just love you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did y'all go ahead, Andre?
I feel your pain because
it was painful.
It was painful because, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of people wasn't aware that Central was a school for the white folks, and that's where I got sent.
I didn't know about that school you went to. That
yeah, Central.
Central. I didn't know about Central.
Robert Forney, myself, Beverly, and Merlin was the only four blacks in that school.
And tell me what grade you were in.
That's when I had left Mountain View, and then they told me I had to go to Central, so I had finished Mountain View at fifth grade.
Okay.
And I should have been going to sixth grade at Central,
mm-hmm.
but that's when they put me in a special ed, along with Robert Forney.
They put him in special ed, too?
We were in a class taking care of the developmentally handicapped children from the folks that lived on Riverside Drive.
Mm.
It was actually two years I felt that they stole from my life.
Yeah, you feel like they
and they came in, a psychiatrist came in and would give us these little ink blocks tests.
They gave them to us too.
And each time I passed the test,
mm-hmm.
and she said, something's wrong. Then she come back. The end of the year, I think I had it three times. It was on that third time she admitted that they made a mistake. And I'm saying, you made a hoop.
And you didn't spend that
where
time.
Where was the school Central at? Right here, Mom?
Where the courthouse is.
Yeah, I didn't know.
They got a picture of it. It was in your article.
Yeah.
The picture is there.
I never saw the picture. I didn't either. Mm-hmm. Jeannie was telling me, and then I found
it. It said right there where the courthouse is in Morganton.
Wow.
And then when she came back and said, well, we made a mistake, I said, well, what you going to do about it? And that's when she said, well, we have to talk to the principal and get with your parents and discuss it. But what they ended up doing, I said, well, why can't you just put me in the grade that I should be in? Mm-hmm. And she said, we can't do that. And I said, you can't do that. I said, y'all made the mistake, not me. And then she said, well, we'll see what the principal has to say. What they ended up doing was putting me back in the fifth grade because they said that the school year was halfway over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you need to go.
That's how you ended up back.
With Gary Dean.
Yeah. That's why I was
and Deborah O'Neill.
Yeah,
and
I
all them.
You got with them.
I would have been ahead of you. But I
know I
got put back.
Then she would have been ahead of me. Mm-hmm. They put her back.
That was wasted 2 years of my life.
Yes, 2 years of my life stolen. That's the way I feel.
It was stolen.
Mm-hmm. It was stolen from me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the only thing they could say was, we're sorry.
That's all that was. Well, they didn't tell us they were sorry. They just look at us with a snarl on their face. When you come into class, they just
mm-hmm.
smile.
But when I say they sorry, it was the principal and the psychiatrist and
mm-hmm.
you know those people were saying they're sorry, but to me that's not you know I just couldn't accept it, and it hurt for a long time.
That to me we did not make any progress.
No,
we regressed 2 years.
Exactly.
Because even after integration came, we still had to go back the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Before
mm-hmm.
we even got looked at as a person.
That is so true. And then when I did go back for that half of a year, and then the next year I did go back to Forest Hill with my siblings
mm-hmm.
to the sixth grade. Then when I went on into the junior high school, that's where, like you, I had problems too.
My multi-junior high years, at seventh, eighth grade year, is so God. So damaging
mm-hmm.
security. Mm-hmm. It just killed me inside. Yes. Because you had to be just treated so bad and suffer in silence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the teachers wouldn't come to your rescue. Mm-hmm. They would let them kids call you every name
right.
under
but
the sun.
Right thing. Yeah. Wow. And they'd leave you in the room with them mm-hmm. by yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you go and to tell them, another student, well, go help her with this. With
yeah,
a
they
math
wouldn't
problem.
Help you. They
and the student would come and call you a nigger.
Wow.
They help you.
And that wow. anger, you know, got into me, and I said, well, guess what? I'll see you after school.
Mm-hmm. That's what ends up, you fought. Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I got away from Morganton Junior High School, got up by Morganton High School, because like you said, your brothers and other friends,
your siblings.
That's where you go for protection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then once I got up there, I was walking behind her, and I tapped her on the shoulder, and I said, you remember what you called me? And she looked at me and she said, nigga. Mm. And that's when I
the fight was on.
It was on. But she didn't fight me back.
They wouldn't fight.
They ran back to the school and told the principal, and the principal contacted my parents, and my mother said, that's when you're going to, if you don't stop this, you're going to the reformatory school, you know. And I said, that's what they say, right? Mm-hmm. They say.
That's what my mother used to tell us. You know, you had to go. They was trying to practice Martin Luther King nonviolence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They just
don't be out there fighting acting. That's what they want you to do so they can kick you out of school.
Mm-hmm. We heard that
you
a lot.
You just don't know. Back then, if I would have been able, if I would, my mother hadn't instilled in me about carrying a weapon, I'd carry a gun to school.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I really would have. If back then, and there was guns in the house. Mm-hmm. But I knew if I carried a gun, Lucy would kill me. She'd kill me dead.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they times I could have carried a gun in school in my book bag and killed them. Mm-hmm. I would one of them. Mm-hmm. Just shot them down and wouldn't have felt a bit of pain.
But how did it occur when once y'all got to the ninth grade at Olive Hill?
Well, and tell me about what year it is.
Okay.
If you can.
64, 65, 66, 67.
Okay.
Things began to change.
Mm-hmm.
We got to West Concord. Whoever we got to West Concord was only ninth graders. Segregation was on the swing. There was a lot of black students, and there was a lot of white students. And the black students decided, we're going to beat the hell out of them.
Mm.
If they look at us wrong.
Wow.
We done took enough.
Mm.
We go to school, you be walking in walking in a crowd, they take scissors and cut your sweaters and clothes. And you turn around, there's stuff hanging off of you. So we decided we're going to get them back. So we went to their lockers and took their stuff out.
Ripped it up.
Wow.
One good term deserves another.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that didn't go over too good. We got in trouble because they would always punish us for doing stuff.
Did the white kids get in trouble?
No, they never got in trouble. They a lot of them, they parents, they carried clout.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So they could do whatever they wanted to
right.
us.
That's right.
And we didn't get it. They didn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So then we got the ones from Roper Street and Bushell Street
mm-hmm.
that was gangster like. And it was on and popping. We had our gang, y'all all white. But we over here, might be a little group,
mm-hmm.
but we got you.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of panned out, it kind of remedied itself.
Okay.
But the worst thing was, we lost so many students, they quit school.
Yeah.
Quit school.
They quit school.
Mm-hmm.
That was, it was very detrimental to education. It didn't mm-hmm. improve education. A lot of black students that would have done things with themselves,
mm-hmm.
and we could have gone farther. I might have mm-hmm. gone farther with my life, but school became a dread.
Wow. Yeah.
And the teachers wouldn't assist you in, you know, like
no.
if you're having difficulty learning something.
Yeah.
They wouldn't.
So we were already
they would help the white students. In
but they wouldn't help us.
They'd mm-hmm. make excuses for you. I can't do it today. Maybe tomorrow you can come by.
Mm-hmm. And they keep trying to work on it now.
A lot of us got discouraged and quit going.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I was one of the first five of us to go to Morganton High, integrated Morganton High. Myself, Charles Forney, Eugene Thomas, my sister Lorraine. Just the first five of us.
And
okay.
Diane Tate, did Diane go?
Patricia Toms.
Yeah, Patricia.
And I hear a lot about this person went, that person went, but there's only five of us at first.
Okay.
And our mothers got together and decided that we needed a quality education.
They
had more advanced curriculum books and stuff than we had. And whenever they finished with the books or whatever, it was passed down to us, but beyond our addition, like 5 years.
Yeah,
or
right.
So
right.
They thought that they sent us to school that we could get a quality education, and that was the whole concept. But once we got there, we found out that they didn't want us there. So it's really hard to try to concentrate and learn whenever you're in a hostile environment.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Leave your notes on your desk. Nigga, go back to Africa.
Oh my God.
Take out your nose and wipe it all over your door. It was rough.
Big enough. Big enough.
You would get threats that would catch you walking in the hall or something. And it was hard to go to school and take a test when you had all that outside stuff you had to worry about.
Yeah.
So, and the one of us that survived and made it, you know.
We did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was worth it because we endured a lot.
Yeah.
We endured a lot.
Even during the cafeteria time, if you notice, all the blacks was on the last dinner, on the last lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Food always ran out.
So you always scheduled at the end of the last year.
Right. And the food, the good food was on. We always got, you know, that we go down there. Yeah, that's why a lot of us would skip class and go to the cafeteria. You know, they would give you a study hall so that you wasn't in the main flow. And then we'd have a study hall, then we'd go to lunch. Well, nothing but the blacks was there. And the food, if they had french fries, we got tater tots made, and they wasn't done cold. You know, the food was not a good quality either. They always shifted us to be at the end.
What were your classrooms like? I mean, like, was there like more than one black person in the class, or were you kind of...
We might have two at the
high school. I was the only one.
Yeah, it wasn't a bell.
In every class I had, I was the only one.
Wow. Yeah. There wasn't no bell at high school.
That was difficult too.
Right. Yeah. And that was after everybody came over.
Yeah.
Right.
They still managed. Mm-hmm. They still managed to keep us split and no power, not to rise up.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about the lunch. You get your lunch and you sit at the table at a seat. And three or four people get up and move to another table. It was difficult. It was really.
You had to eat alone, play
alone.
And I had, let me tell you, at West Concord, we had dance. The teacher paired us. They call out your name, that's your part, because your name is part. Well, I was wondering, who in the world am I going to dance? Because no little boys say, I'm not dancing with no nigga. You know, they say that right away. So I knew I wasn't going to dance with no boy. And didn't have no black boy in my class. So I sit there wondering what's going to happen today. They gave me her name was Kay Lathrop. She had a gland disorder. She was
huge.
Huge. You remember Kay Lathrop? She was very huge. They didn't like her either.
Wow.
So they put us together. She didn't like me because she didn't like niggas, but you know what? She began to kind of have to put up with me because she was my dance partner. And we had to get a grade together. So I tell her, come on, let's go get this grade. And she danced. She never spoke to me. She never looked me in my eye.
Wow.
But we danced together.
If one did take it upon itself to try to be friends with you or whatever, and you're walking down the hall, nigger lover.
You had to hear nigger lover.
Well, now where were what happened to the black teachers when
they were
desegregation happened?
They were disqualified.
Because we didn't have any.
We didn't have any.
McIntosh was the only one that I could associate in the middle school. Okay. And then even in the ninth grade, I don't even recall the black teacher at Olive Hill.
We didn't have one.
Wow.
Not one.
And McIntosh was only.
He was Morgan
High. He was the only one at Morgan High.
And they made him.
And he had to be kind of cautious because
He
couldn't sit and give a black student his undivided attention for too long because it started. It was.
They used him to kind of keep peace with us. He was a token peacemaker. Because if we got out of order, they'd call him. If they had a student that wasn't acting right, didn't land out of school, they'd call him. He'd get in touch with the parent. You know, he was our late liaison. Because they didn't take no time with us.
Yeah. Like my sister was talking about, we had dance too. We had ballroom dancing every Friday. So I'd get the basketball and just go to, because we had it in the gym. I just go to another gym and shoot basketball balls.
By yourself.
Yeah, because wouldn't nobody dance with me.
That's what it was with us.
I guess we had like maybe a month and a half left in school. And this girl came up to her. Her name was Susan Fitz. Her dad used to on the news girl. And she came up and she said, I think it's been horrible the way we treated you all year.
Mm-hmm.
So we only had like maybe a month. So she said, if you don't mind, I dance with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot basketball. but anyway, after,
you got used to it.
After that, I didn't have a problem on Fridays getting somebody to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Because once somebody stepped up and danced with me, then on a Friday, somebody else would volunteer. But it was only like two or three Fridays and school was over anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the whole year I had to shoot basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I had a guy like that in my class. His name was Bobby Phillips. You remember
mm-hmm. I remember Bobby Phillips.
Mm-hmm. He burned in a fire.
No.
But one day we was in class and the teacher left out and this white girl had bullied me and I wouldn't say I was just looking at her because she was just calling out kind of niggas and stuff. And the rest of them, yeah, like that. And Bobby said, why y'all treating like that? If I had my way, I'd kiss her. It made me feel good
that
he would say that.
Right.
But, you know, he said that trying to make him leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, he'd look at me and try to be my friend.
Yeah.
But they wouldn't let him be my friend.
Wow.
But I recall one teacher at Olive Hill when I was there. She was a PE teacher. Her name was Miss Brindle. And one day she came up to me and she said, don't let them get you down.
Mm-hmm.
She said, keep smiling. She said, because you're going places in your life. And I said, I took that with me
mm-hmm.
the whole time that I was going through this.
Yeah, all that trauma.
Yes.
She was young. Right?
Yeah, she was a young teacher.
Because she came to Morgan High.
Yes.
And taught English to me. I was in her own room. She was very good.
Yes, she
but
was.
They dogged her. She got pregnant out of wedlock, right. And they dogged her around.
Oh, yeah. You didn't do that back then.
Back then, they made her leave.
We had two teachers in high school that would take extra time with me.
Mm-hmm.
And both of them were females, and they would take extra time.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, one teacher, though, I sit right in front of my desk, and they'd leave notes and everything, and she never. Oh, I don't know who left that note, Richard.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, how in the hell can you sit there
mm-hmm.
and not see who? I take something and wipe on you.
Yeah.
Who could not see him do that?
She didn't want to see. They didn't want to see stuff like that.
I guess they closed their eyes or something and looked the other way.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like if they were caught trying to defend us, they would get in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They never seen nothing. They never heard nothing.
Yeah.
They didn't know nothing.
Mm-hmm. But did you ever get paddled in school? And it seems like it was always the blacks that got paddled in school.
Especially in Walton Junior High, Mr. Patton, I hated him.
Thank you.
Now, did the teachers do it, or did they, like, send you to somebody?
Send you to Patton.
To the principal.
And he had a long paddle.
Ooh.
Brown.
You had to bend
over. And he'd hit you with
touch
that paddle.
Touch your toe.
And he'd hit you with that paddle.
Mm-hmm.
He hit me, because I got hit with it a couple times for talking back to a student, wanting to, and they said I was wanting to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I was wanting to fight, but I didn't hit nobody.
And was it a white student mm-hmm. you were talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they whipped us more than they did the white children.
Sure did.
They really did.
They abused us.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get threatened too much by the guys.
I guess not.
I could defend myself pretty good, so I didn't have much problems with that.
Yeah.
It was just, leaving notes and threatening you. And,
mm-hmm.
and like she said, you know, if you hung your coat up in the closet, you know, going in pockets full of water.
I got mine. One day it was the coldest day. It was snowing, sleep outside. And I went to get my coat, and it wasn't in my locker. And Daisy Robinson said, Christopher, I think that's your coat in there in the bathroom. And that last doll said, go look. And I went in and looked. Somebody put it in there and pooped on it.
Oh, my Lord.
The coldest day.
Oh, my goodness.
I was hurt so bad because I kept thinking, where's my enemy? That's what I was wanting to know. What enemy? It never did come out.
Mm-hmm.
But Beverly Tucker, my best friend, I put my arm in this coat, my hand around her waist. She put her arm in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we went walking with the hood, our heads together, because it was real cold. Uh-huh. And went home. That's how I got home.
Wow.
They used to do some horrible
things. My mama said, where's your coat? I said, they put it in the toilet and put it on it. She got me a coat, but She was very disturbed by it. Mm-hmm. She said, did you tell anybody?
Nobody,
they ain't gonna listen. She called Miss Little Hell about it with the press club. Yeah, she called. She go out there to the school. Mm-hmm. Said she didn't expect us to be treated that way, but that just didn't help none.
Yeah.
And to get a quality education, we had to put up with a bunch of.
We got jobs to get quality.
Yeah. Wow.
We got abused for quality.
Yeah.
It was rough.
And do you feel like the quality actually improved? I mean, you know, you talked about how hard it was to sit and take a test when you're dealing with somebody putting boogers on your desk and stuff like that. So did the quality improve for y'all?
I think for the children, maybe 8 years later, 6 years later, it started. But the first 2 or 3 years, I don't think.
No.
I don't think it did us any good, because my class of 1971 still has a class reunion and don't invite the blacks.
What?
To this day.
Well, my class, I ran into Buddy Armour. I was in class with Buddy.
Okay.
And he said, he just told me this past weekend, he said, we need to meet and have a class reunion. But I do recall the last class reunion that I attended at Morganton. It was after I got back from Chicago. And some of the students that betrayed me when I was in middle school and high school were there. And one came up and actually hugged me. Oh, Andrea, it's so nice. Elaine Fike.
That is.
I said, that's the one that called me a nigga. I said, but I'm above that now. Okay. But it was, you know, strange how they act like they knew you so well,
right.
And now they want to loving up to you. And I just said, well, I'm not going to stoop to that level.
Yeah,
I'm a different person now.
Okay. Have any of them ever apologized?
No.
We had our class, Loretta Poole. Remember her?
Mm-hmm.
She's been organizing our class reunion, they say, for years.
Mm-hmm.
And Kathy Smith, that works at Blue Line, she told me, I asked her, I said, she said, Loretta was talking about having another class reunion, she said, and I said, well, are they thinking about inviting any of us this time? She said, you know how Loretta is. So they changed.
But this will be our 50th.
Yeah, we're supposed to have our 50th, but we don't have a class.
Wow.
I'm kind of glad the school's tore down.
Yeah,
because I don't have no reminder.
Man.
Yeah.
It's like it's a relief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like but let me tell you this. Do you know the class of 1948? I think it is constructing a wall out there in that field somewhere. But they supposedly don't have nothing for the blacks or integration, because they said they weren't involved in that.
Morganton High School class of 1948.
They said they're constructing a wall. But they don't have nothing. They want nothing to do with the integration with that part. Like, they want us to buy brick now, but we don't know where we're gonna put it.
And where's this wall supposed to go?
Where the old school was, somewhere up there.
That's a grand apartment. Okay.
Yeah, to mark the spot. But they said that the class of that year, 1928 or whatever it is, I can't get the details. Mm-hmm. Gary Hobson knows, but said that they don't want to get involved in the racial part, so we still ain't got no part.
Of course. I think our mothers had a very good idea and a wise plan and to try to get better education for us.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily, I don't think it happened for us, but I think
for the
down the road,
to come.
Because of what we endured and went through, I think the kids underneath us, when they started coming up, it was a lot better. A lot of them got quality education, but at first, whenever we went,
and you
we
know,
just called it
hell.
Yeah.
You know another thing about that, too? They like each other. They started growing up together.
Right.
And a lot of them remain friends. That below, they have benefited from it.
Exactly.
Yeah, because a lot of them, have white and black, have remained friends. They went to school together.
You're talking about the younger?
The younger generation.
The mother's efforts didn't go to waste.
It worked out, but
it was years later before the idea they had in mind started to
spread and work in this town
started to take effect.
That's an excellent point, because I mean, you know, you hear these stories of how hard it was on you all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like, we tell stories about people who sat at countertops or,
right.
you know, got arrested or whatever. Y'all lived with this every day.
Yes.
For however long. I mean, this was every day in kids.
Yeah. Right. In your forming years.
In your formative years, when your identity and self-worth is self-esteem forming.
And everything is building. And they tell you nothing.
They was tearing you.
Wow.
They
so that just makes, there was a great sacrifice that you all ended up making as young people that paved the way for people who came later. Because my experience wasn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I ever had one of my white classmates call me a nigger.
No. Yeah.
Are you from Morgan?
I'm from Lenore.
Oh, God, you didn't rest over there?
Yeah. But, you know, when I remember the older kids, you know, having the police spraying them with mace and stuff like that. But it didn't trickle down to my age group. So I think the kids who hit that first got hit with a brick, you know?
Yeah, right. And then too, you know, even at sporting events and stuff, our first year, we wasn't welcome, but people were playing. But
they wanted your people to play, right?
Right, they wanted your people to play.
Right, they wanted them to win.
Right,
you know,
right.
But what hit me again was when I played basketball in the ninth grade, and I got to play in the 10th grade, and then that's when they came and told me, said, you can't play on the team anymore because you're too old. That was because...
And they done put you back all that time.
That's 2 years, and then now you're going to take what the sport that I'm interested in away from me.
Yeah.
Well, you can be the manager on the team, but I want to play basketball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that hurt again, so you threw a rock at me again.
Yeah.
And the cheerleaders, we didn't have any cheerleaders.
No.
We had girls with big mouths.
Mm.
I tried out for cheerleading. They didn't take me. That was like my first year.
Okay.
At Morganton Junior, my second year in eighth grade, I tried, but they didn't take me. Anyway, when we got to Morganton High, we wanted some cheerleaders of color.
Right.
Because our boys were playing, we needed some They wouldn't give us nobody, so we walked out of school. We went to Reverend Mack. And he told us, he said, be calm. Do it organized and leave and I go over to Slade's Chapel, sit on the steps, and I'll meet you over there. And he dared the boys to leave and get to drinking wine. You know, boys do. He dared them to leave. So he said, I want everybody over there. We're going to leave there and walk to the Board of Education and let them know I complained. But the day we left, those teachers, we glad you niggas is gone. Leave. Slamming doors, telling us, go, don't come back. Good riddance.
Well, now tell me about what happened at when y'all went over to Slade.
Over there and we started singing songs. We started all the songs because Martin Luther King was doing that time. We started singing those songs. Reverend Matt came in and he prayed with us. And he told us to go sing about the Board of Education. Then was out there by Teeters.
Where
our home food is.
Right.
We walked out there. He let us joined there in the office, but there was only him and another student to speak to. The superintendents were there then. And he went in and talked to the superintendent and told him what was going on. Everybody was running crazy. What's going on? And he told him that we needed some cheerleaders. We were tired of the way we were being treated, and we were demanding a change. And they gave us, Ruthie, Viola,
Roseboro, was a cheerleader.
So we ended up with three cheerleaders, and things started, when they seen that, things started to change a little. The pressure wasn't as bad, but it still wasn't good.
So you had to push for everything you got.
To have a locker, you had to push. You had to be verbal. You had to show strength. You had to, just to be able to say, I'm here.
Yeah.
Recognize me.
I think it helped me out in the long run because after high school, I went in the military and I stayed 30 years. And there's prejudice in the military too. Not only against blacks, but Hispanics, Asians.
Anybody being white.
Right.
Coming from Morganton taught me how to cope with it and deal with it.
Yes, wow.
Yeah,
it did.
I stayed in Mentor for 30 years, so I think it really helped me a whole
There's
lot.
A whole skill set you had to develop because of you were a person of color.
That's right.
You know, but that's so true because it helped me.
Me too.
When I left and was gone 28 years, it helped me.
And where did you go?
Well, my husband was military, and I, like my brother, we just went around the world and back. But the greatest joy I ever felt about being a Black American was when I was in Germany. And this communist told me, said, "You go home, you Americanish." I said, "That sounds better than you go home there."
And you know, that happened to me in France.
You know,
wow.
He didn't like me because I was American.
Wow. And they didn't like me over in France because I was an American, not a Black person. And I kept saying, "Oh my God, I'm American."
That's why
they accept you a lot better over there.
They accept
you a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they talk about
you're a human being to them. You're not a person of color. Mm-hmm. They treat you like a human being.
Yeah.
And even Mark and Harry, there was some that I look forward to seeing in the mornings when I go to school. Mm-hmm. But there was some that treated me real nice.
Mm-hmm.
If I went to an auditorium, I had two buddies that would come and sit with me.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, they had to take the nigger lover, but they still had to try and sit with me.
Stepped up. Mm-hmm. What year did you graduate?
68.
Mm-hmm. And you were?
71.
72. Okay. Mm-hmm.
You see, when he left in 68, my oldest sister already gone. He left. That was my only link of protection.
So you were going by yourself at that point.
I had a younger sister.
That was in my grandfather.
But he was, that meant that I was on my own.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah. And you mentioned one time that you walked to school and it sounded like you were kind of leaning on the protection of your
not
your
leaning,
brothers.
All depended on it, you know. Because
yeah, a long walk. Yeah, a long walk.
Wow.
Come from Bushell, you know, Bush Mountain Records, all the way across town, down through there and going to Moncton Junior High. Moncton Junior High.
Oh, gosh, that is a long walk.
Rain, sleet, snow, or hell, you had to go. We didn't ride no bus. We walked.
And I tell you something else, too. Being at Morgan High, if we had to walk home every day, we went by Woolworths. It could be pouring down rain.
Where was that?
Right
where
the
Campbell's
building.
Where
Campbell's
Okay.
You couldn't go in no store. If it was raining, you got the cold. No. Y'all are still.
Yeah.
Stay outside.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Not in the store.
And the whites would come up the sidewalks. Four fourths, and we'd walk, had to get off the sidewalk and get in the street.
Mm-hmm. That's the way it was coming from Morganton Junior High, trying to go home to West Concord Street.
All the way.
They would push us out of off the sidewalk, coming down the sidewalk, clapping their hands. We hate niggers. We hate niggers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after a while, we got fed up with it. So Candace, Reveley, and myself was the main ones that would be walking that route after we left school. And they would actually start that song again. We hate niggers. And I said, "Well, Candace, I tell you what. You see that guy right there? He's mine." Mm-hmm. I said, "And that girl with him? That's mine." Mm-hmm. I said, "Now the rest of them, y'all can do whatever."
Yeah.
Wow.
You got to do
and
that.
We fought until they finally would depart and let us walk through.
That's what they did us going down the bush. Yeah, we had to go through this like a ramrod. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to go through. You get tired, so you a bunch of you get together, just kind of hold up to each other, and just go through.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who wants to live like that?
Mm-hmm. And then they would run home, tell their parents.
Right.
Their parents would call the school, and then our parents would come down on us.
Yeah, and then you know that the police would be more more visible when things like that happen, just intimidate and scare us. The police walking.
So the police would come around when
after we gonna have the confrontation
because we're the one that fought.
Because we decided we got enough. See, they said we was aggressive. We was fighting them, but they talk about how they would come up and we had to get inside.
Mm-hmm.
And you get tired. Mm-hmm. So we got tired like y'all, and we ram up together and just go run down through them like they bowling balls and knock them. Next day or so, the police just
right.
You know what that's for?
They're riding up and down the street. Yeah, enough.
But I've seen the time that it'd be raining, cold, and you could not go in the store. Well, if you were one or two, but if you're in a group,
You can't go in.
And if you go get something to eat, you have to go to the counter and they don't. We don't serve niggas here. Yeah, we had to go for a day rated to the Green Fly, we call it. Mm-hmm. The little back door.
Yeah, and you get a hamburger. He wouldn't let you in either.
He wouldn't let you in either, little nasty joint. But you go to the back door and get a hamburger for a quarter.
The Green Fly?
That's what we call the Green Fly. It was Dave Raider's Cafe.
Yes.
But we could go there and get, you know, get a sandwich, but just go to the back door.
Yeah, we called the Green Fly.
And it was going to run down, and it'd be a the best thing about it, be a little black man in there cooking, he'd bring you a sandwich and get your dollar or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the movie, and they have tea and cups and throw them to it on you.
What? Yeah, and we had to sit up at the balcony at the Mimosa's.
And they'd be over on the other side, and they'd pee and cups and stuff and throw them over on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. And we couldn't come into the theater. We had to go up the back door.
Up the steps. And you had to stand and knock on the door. You don't pay your money, but you couldn't
somebody go. Come up the downstairs and run up there and open it up for you.
And they was, you pay down here for your ticket.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But you come out, go outside, go up the building, go up that little side door, and you might miss a part of the movie because they got to come and see when they get ready.
Right.
Wow.
I don't think the people in Alabama and Mississippi had anything on us. Except we didn't turn the other cheek too often.
Mm-hmm.
No,
right.
Enough was enough. You know?
Yeah. Well, how did your mothers? How did they respond to that? What did they? How did they to the way y'all were being treated?
They always felt it'd get better.
Okay.
And my mother always told me, don't let anyone hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they try to physically hurt you, you have to defend yourself.
Yeah, they always
defend yourself. My father always told me.
Yeah, they said don't start it. But if you have to finish it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them hurt you. Don't let them do nothing. Because I'm with you. My mother used to tell, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't want us to bully. Just go start.
Don't start. Right.
But they say if they do something, you better take them out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what my dad used to tell me.
Look, I'll tell you, if I carried a gun in school.
Yeah.
It was
you felt like kind of stick. If you had a stick, you could fold up.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd pull it out.
Take some nunchucks or something.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
I gave an interview one time over here in the library. I don't know if it's still used or not.
Yeah, I bet it is.
A lot of people said that they heard your interview and they said they really liked it. Brenda Brewer told me, said Richard told it just like
it. Yeah.
Didn't believe that people would do that and actually leave it on my desk.
They do anything to you. I mean, the things that you would be shamefully to say.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they didn't care what they and you didn't put nothing past them either.
And then if you had a big exam, you had to go home and all the stuff you're going through during the day and try to study and concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, very difficult.
No doubt.
Very difficult to prepare yourself for a test.
And I couldn't stand PUT either.
By the time I got to my senior year, I got used to PUT.
I couldn't stand it. Right
but
then.
Prior to that.
Now, who was PUT?
We had a Ku Klux Klan
on
the
mission
here. He was probably
he had the hat on and the robe and everything. Okay. Right there in class. This is how he walked. You see Mr. Tudge Mouse, Carbonette.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, didn't have no personality, didn't have nothing. No. He'd look at you and call you a nigga and stuff look at you.
But you know, he was an instructor.
He was North Carolina teacher. You had to pass his class to graduate.
Wow. And you know, he always called me Hot Pocket. He never called me by my name.
He
called me Hot Pocket because I was on the basketball team at the time. And he will always say, well, Hot Pockets, how many points are you going to hit tonight? And Hot Pocket this, you know, but never addressed me by my name.
He didn't address any of us with any kind of courtesy.
That's so rude.
He didn't address any of us. He'd say, you. I used to look at him and say to myself, I hate you.
Now, how many, you said that a lot of kids just dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
But how many would you think just couldn't take it and dropped out?
I know my sister Anna, she dropped out of school.
Okay.
By the time she got to the high school, she dropped out.
And now where would Annabelle be?
She would have been in Morganton High School when she dropped out.
Mm-hmm. And she would have finished in...
A year before, she would have been in 1970.
Okay,
yeah, she's the year ahead of me.
Okay.
A lot of the students that dropped out were your students that came from... We were all poor.
Mm-hmm.
But came from families poor. than us. Mm-hmm. Because they were made fun of so bad. One right. thing about our parents, they worked hard, yes. tried to clothe us and do the best, you know. But you had some that came from a real, real lower mm-hmm. poverty level than what mm-hmm. we were. Mm-hmm. They couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. Wow. Where when they went to the black school, the teachers, everybody knew their situation. Mm-hmm. Everybody tried to help. They would give clothes. Mm-hmm. If I remember we had a student, their father left them. Mm-hmm. And they was bringing clothes. My mom told me, take these clothes down to school. We took them to Miss Hamilton's room. Mm-hmm. They would give us clothes, stuff that, you know, you knew about things. Mm-hmm. And nobody was a failure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
when they integrated the schools, they didn't have any help.
Right. No. Right.
And then they got sneered, you know, so... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And see, on West Concord Street, most of the families were large families.
Yeah.
You know, Mildred had seven girls, and my family, there was seven of us. I was the middle of seven.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was still me.
Mm-hmm. There was Irvin, Roy Irvin, Annie Bell, then me, then Jean Gertie.
You know, I never did know because... Mm-hmm. I spent so many nights out there. It seemed like there was so much room.
Right. Rose Johnson, yeah. She had about six
yeah,
or seven.
That was wow. Four
yeah, and there was a lot of... West Concord was a big family. Bobby Forney, they had
the
big family.
Street.
The whole street was
the whole
just
street was
big family, but we were one united family.
Mm-hmm. And see, that's where we mm-hmm. would go over there because, like, Ruth and them was our cousins. They were our cousins.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so we go spend the night with each other, and you go out there in the street and you just play ball.
Ball mm-hmm.
kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when we started going to school,
so that dynamic just changed.
No, we remained the same.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Because we had to replenish our strengths.
Exactly.
On the weekends, all of us would get together and have a game plan
mm-hmm.
for them.
Mm-hmm.
we got to get them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The seven mothers, the kids, I think, were always close.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the seven mothers joined together for us to have a better education. When school was out, we clumped each other because we were going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have no place for the black world or the mm-hmm. white world, but we had mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah. Now, help me get it right about that first year. That first year, y'all went for a while.
The whole year.
Did you go the whole year?
Yeah.
Okay.
The whole year.
And integration was the following
year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The seven mothers sent their kids 64.
Yeah.
Integration came full place, I think, 65.
Okay. Yeah,
so Morgan High for the whole year. It just me being the only one in every class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's only five of us at Morgan High.
That was the one.
It was hell for the first year.
64.
The next year, everybody came, so it kind of took a lot of pressure off of it.
Right.
But
yeah.
The first year was hell.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
the girls like Daisy and all of them that bullied us little people, they became our friends. We was all bullying them.
Because my daddy told me, he said, if you come home one more time telling me about what Daisy had done to you.
Now, Daisy Black.
Yeah, she's black.
Okay.
She's still a big girl.
He said, I'm going to whip you.
Yeah,
and I didn't
football.
Want no whipping from my daddy. So I had to whoop Daisy. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I had to whoop her. Really?
Hey, we were bullying us. We were still giving her money.
Wow.
And she was kidding to us. Give me your money. Daisy was helping us bully him.
She had to change her.
Yeah.
Change her
bully style.
But you had to help the next year. And the name calling, by myself at Morgan High, I could be walking down the hall and somebody just holler out.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came over next year, you do that and somebody's standing close to you, you may get a flick upside the head.
Exactly.
So, the name calling died down. They might tell you one-on-one if you were in a room or outside or something, but as a group inside,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You paid the price.
Because you weren't by yourself.
Exactly.
You were vulnerable at that point.
Exactly.
And you know that jewelry store, Gregory Jewelry,
mm-hmm.
you know, they son, Steve, what is it, Steve Gregory?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of those racist.
That's my classmate.
Mm-hmm. And he's crippled.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Crap, mm-hmm. bad. He hated blacks, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He was mean in school. He'd kick at you as to speak to you.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and the one that... several of them like that.
Richard Elmore is the one that stepped on my foot and pushed me into the locker. And I went to the teacher. I followed them to his classroom, and I went to the teacher, and I said, one of your students just pushed me into the locker, didn't say excuse me, stepped on my toes. And I said, so what you going to do about it? You know, she looked at me like I was crazy. Mm-hmm. But politely, I walked up to him at his desk, and Deborah O'Neill and Alice Kay can confess to this, and I slapped the pee out of him, excuse my French. And then I went back up to the middle of the class and to the teacher's desk, and I said, excuse me for disturbing your class, and walked out. Mm-hmm. And they said,
that's one thing.
And what did they do to you?
They didn't do anything. They said, well, you're going to have to go to the principal office. And I said, well, Abernathy don't want to see me. And Alice said, if Mr. Abernathy say something, said Janie Pearson and all of them going to come up in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we start sticking together when they start getting us together.
Mm-hmm. Even though the following year we all came over, I was already there, everybody else came over, I think a lot of black kids still didn't get the education assistance that they needed.
They didn't.
The dropout rate for the first 3 or 4 years was probably pretty high.
Wow.
We had a lot of blacks that went to school, and because of one reason or another, they couldn't get help.
Mm-hmm.
They quit school.
Mm-hmm. Which
they may have been doing it to try to see if we were going to quit anyway.
Right.
They have done it on purpose, not giving us any help. But
we did.
And eventually... They quit dropping out, and they still dropped out, but not at the rate probably the first 2 or 3 years.
Because it was horrible.
And I look at it too, like when in the sporting events, the black guys that could really play football, they cater more to them than they would
Caraway.
Yeah.
The other Caraway, but he helped a lot too.
Yeah, he did. Mm-hmm. I like Caraway.
He helped a lot. He took time for his, because I had him in science, math, something. And Coach Caraway would take the time. You go to him, he would take the time to explain. I think it's because he was a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And the diversity of the team, he learned how to deal mainly with everybody.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And certain ones you could go to and talk to. He was one of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That you go to.
Mm-hmm. And when you went to him, what could he help you do?
He would help you put it into perspective.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You could even tell him how they were treating you, and he would say something like, "I know,"
mm-hmm.
and I'll try to do something. He wouldn't push it away or under the rug. He would acknowledge
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you could see a little change. And sometimes we'd have a program in the auditorium saying they wasn't going to tolerate certain things and everything, but it didn't change.
Right. He always told me if you played football for me, I'd get you a scholarship.
And he did. He got a lot of horses scholarship.
Mm. And he was sincere about it.
Good.
He liked to see athletes excel
mm-hmm.
as a student and a player.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One thing about it, he didn't try to shape their grades so they could play.
Right.
He stayed on them to get their grades. Yes. You know, he was a real teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the administration above him, they're the ones who probably held him back a little bit, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we had a principal at Morgan High. I liked him, Laughing House. His name, we called him Ha Ha. So we could talk about him in his face. He said, here come Ha Ha. We see him coming down the hall. His name was Laughing House. And somebody doing something, we said, here come Ha Ha, you better quit. But the thing about him, like I said, lunch, we had lunch last. 11 o'clock, we had study hall. So what we would do, if you went to study hall and stayed in there 10, 15 minutes, and get counted present. They take the roll and you're counted present. What we would do was go down there by the football field and sneak out that hole. There was a hole in the fence. And we'd sneak out that hole and leave school and go to Hardy's. Hardy's was right up the road eating.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Well, one day Ha Ha was down there waiting on us.
He had the last laugh that day.
He just turned us all around.
But so you were able to eat at Hardee's?
We'd slip off.
Yeah. I mean, they would serve you?
Yeah, we'd go there and get a burger.
Okay. Hardee's was right down
right
the hill.
Street, yeah.
Yeah,
oh,
right,
okay.
Right across the street. And then they had Wallace Grocery. They had Wallace Grocery there.
Mm-hmm.
We could go, you take, he could get cookies,
mm-hmm.
like 2 for the penny and stuff like that. We need peanut butter, cookies and stuff. And then they have 7-Eleven above the little turn.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we go in and spend our lunch money and buy a bunch of junk.
Because
we didn't get a quality lunch. No way.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was a cooking staff for black anyway.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow. Were they ever able to kind of slip you a little good stuff?
They would. Sometimes if you're cold outside or something like that, they try to get you.
What year did you graduate from the North?
76.
Okay, you did good.
Yeah, it had
improved a whole lot.
It had, yeah.
I was in
college.
Germany in 76.
Okay,
graduating from college.
Yeah, but I remember, you know, stories that my older cousins. I remember one of them was at Lenoir High one day, and they were getting maced. Mm. The police were literally macing them, spraying with mace. I don't know what had gone down, but. And you know, kind of like Morganton, Lenoir tried to keep it out of the news.
Right.
They didn't want anybody knowing this stuff was going on.
Yeah. Look, Morganton tried to make it like it was a smooth transition.
It was not that.
It was not.
Yeah, it was not that.
It was hard. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
Because
they didn't ask y'all.
Right.
You know, it was smooth from their standpoint.
And it was
maybe.
Scary. Anticipating when Mother came and told us what was going, I was scared.
Mm. You and me, huh?
I was scared. I didn't think, I was like, what's going to happen?
I didn't pay any attention to
him. You got there.
Like a week.
You had a culture shock.
Yeah, real culture shock.
Wow.
When I came up here and gave an interview, I think the guy's name is Claude.
That's the one they interviewed me.
Judge Sitton. Mm-hmm.
He was surprised when I told him.
He was surprised when I told the story.
Mm-hmm. I never knew that happened to you guys.
Yes. And see, that's the thing. The story that was told publicly was smooth transition.
Yes, sir. But it wasn't.
That's why they kept us one to a classroom without interruption.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it seemed like it.
Divide and conquer. Mm-hmm.
And see, yeah, like, you know, but at Central, like I said, I would never see Beverly and them, but entering the school and leaving the school.
Yeah.
I've been in that school for a year and a half. And never saw them.
Wow.
You didn't even see them in the cafeteria the way they had them going to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see each other.
Wow. He told me one time, Claudia, why didn't you go to the principal and the teachers? Y'all, I said I did.
That's one of the reasons.
You go there two or three times, you don't get any help.
What's the point?
Yeah. And you get snarled at for coming.
Yeah.
And then they're like,
you're a troublemaker.
Yeah. So where are you going to go in there?
Yeah. And when you do go to them, if anything's done, for the most part, it's done against you
instead of on your
behalf.
It's retaliation.
It's retaliation.
For you coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you're supposed to suck it up and go on.
Right.
You're getting this.
Right. Wow. Geronimo, have you got any questions
Were you born here?
No, I was born here.
Okay, so you ain't.
I think you know my mom.
I was getting ready to ask you, Veronica.
Yeah, she's my mom.
I kept saying, Geronimo, when you said that, I kept saying, I know that kid.
Yeah,
but you're not a kid. But I said, that's Geronimo. That's Veronica. I knew his parents and his grandparents.
Oh, okay.
I remember when he was a little baby.
Oh, my goodness.
And I watched him kind of grow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The reason I asked you if you were born here is because sometimes when I see other cultural people, I can imagine sometimes what they go through.
Yes.
Because of what we, you know, I do. I look at them sometimes and I feel sorry for them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of the way that some of them are treated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go to a laundromat or somewhere and just be sitting there. And just to watch people, how they treat other people, it just tears me up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that still goes on.
Yeah, that's going on really big. It's big with people that's of another nationality or something.
As long as you have people, you're going to have discrimination.
Right. For one thing or another.
Yeah, right.
If they can't discriminate on color, they'll find something else.
Even in Africa, you know, it's all black, the discrimination.
It's just against you.
That's right. No matter where you go.
But that's just
so
like,
it's something that you have to learn to deal with. You don't let it get you down too much. You make sure you're not physically hurt from it, but you have to learn to deal with discrimination.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it comes in all different sizes, all different flavors.
The flavor
is
there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing, too, that it is true.
Yeah.
It's discrimination.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Rich and poor, you know, discrimination against the poor.
Yeah.
Discrimination against
obese people.
Mm-hmm.
Discriminated against. It's just something that you have to accept as a part of life, and Now let it get you down and do the best you can to cope with it and move forward.
Yeah. This African guy told me one time, we was talking about, what's about Africa and everything? And I said, you know, they always talk about, why don't we go back to Africa and stuff? And he said, you're not a true black person.
Mm-hmm, no.
I said, I know. He said, you don't even know who you are. Mm-hmm. I said, oh, you got to be discriminated against them too. They're going to tell you, you don't even know who you are. Like you're just an old mixed up hot dog.
Yeah.
All different kind of meat.
Yeah, that's it. That's
so, you know, you just...
You know, this is home, even though I don't live here now. This is home. I grew up here, and it'll always be home. You know?
Yeah,
you're right.
Even what I went through and what I had to endure, mm-hmm. you know, it's still home.
And it's helped build you into who you are.
Yeah.
Every, all of us, I believe.
Yeah,
we go away, we come back. We say we ain't coming back, but we come back.
Now, where do you live?
I live in a town called Graham, right below Greensboro.
Okay.
But I'm moving back this way, though.
Okay.
Be closer to home. Right now, it's a 2-hour drive one way.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I get older, the drive is getting harder and harder.
Yeah.
For me and my wife, so.
Getting closer to home.
Yeah, we're gonna move closer back this way.
Good.
Yeah, great.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate y'all being willing to share these stories.
It felt good coming out.
Good, good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that our young people need to be able to have access to in the future.
Yes.
You know, when they get to the point where history is of interest to them, because a lot of them in the younger ages, it's no big deal.
Right.
But, you know, further down the road, it'll become a point of interest. And having these stories preserved, I think, is just, you think of the stories that we lost about our grandparents and great-grandparents because nobody told those stories.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to capture those, you know.
Based on what we went through.
Yeah.
And during the time frame, you can imagine what they actually went through, our grandparents.
Say
what you're talking about.
Yeah. Say it. I mean, just to think about the things they endured that we will never even be able to imagine, things they wouldn't even talk about.
Mm-hmm.
But at least now, you know, we have developed that voice where we can have some freedom to talk about it.
Exactly.
They didn't even have the freedom to talk about it. That's you know, they might get lynched.
That's
if they talk about it, that's why they're saying.
They blues away.
I
feel like bringing them. You know, just now, several states, a majority of states have voted for the hate law. And it's still hard to believe that some states are having a problem trying to pass
that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That,
you know, here it is, 2022 in some states.
They're trying to take us
and they want to block it.
They don't want to. They don't want to go. They don't want us to have none.
Yeah. No.
No quality of life is worth anything.
No.
Mm-hmm. I just can't see and understand how they feel that they can be so superior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel that you brought people here screaming and hollering? You come here on a ship, cutthroat thieves and robbers.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go steal people from their land, bring them here to work for you, and you think that you're so superior.
Superior. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And on land that was stolen from other people
begin
with. You can't steal land that's already occupied.
Exactly.
And they come here, just, like I said, cutthroat robbers and thieves.
Yes.
And then they just took over.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about that Wall Street. You looked at that about the Black Wall Street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That just, and there's another one down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And the information that you're compiling, what you going to do?
Yes, I was just going to pull us back to that. What I'm going to do is... we're going to turn it into a transcript. Going to have somebody type it up, so it'll be available. And I don't know if I'm going to add it to what they've got here already. Share it with the North Carolina Room with Lori over at the library. Maybe both.
Both. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you know, just want to compile all this information and have. It might make more sense to do it here, since there's already, you know, a collection started, to have it available for people. Because, you know, when I was doing my doctorate, if I had had this kind of information, that's what I would have done it on. Mm-hmm. I would have studied this deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So I know somewhere down the line somebody is going to pick up on this and want to do a deeper study of it. You know, somebody might, you mentioned Chris writing a book. There will be, you know, information that's publicly available that they can use for a book. I mentioned that a friend of mine that gave me all this fancy equipment here is very interested in it. She's with Appalachian State University. She might I want to do a documentary. So mm-hmm. she might, and if y'all are willing to share your contact information, I'll get that from you, like email or whatever you want to share with me, in case somebody wants to do that and they can reach out to you, particularly Beth, because I know mm-hmm. she likes to get people in and talk to people one-on-one if she does mm-hmm. a documentary. So, you know, if you're interested in doing that, let me get you to put your contact information there. And I didn't get you to say your name. I got Chris. But, Richard, if you'll say your name, and Andrea, say your name, and then just let me know that you consent to us recording and using your story for research purposes. Okay.
Richard Douglas Johnson, Jr.
All right. That does.
I appreciate it. I feel better.
Good.
Like sitting here with everybody and talking about it.
Good. I think I may do another story for the News Herald, just kind of, you know, telling y'all's, talking about those first kids that went that year mm-hmm. alone.
I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
Reason we were alone. Appreciate it because they only talk about the ones that went to Morganton High.
Thank you.
They never mm-hmm. bring out the ones that went to these other schools, mm-hmm. Morton Junior
High. They didn't know our story.
A lot of people didn't know our story.
Wow. They yeah. only know their story, Morton right. High. Mm-hmm. They focus on Morton. My brother, my sister, Eugene Thomas, and
Patricia Thomas.
And my brother,
and Charles Fonny.
My oldest brother, I was sitting there talking about when you and I met, mm-hmm. and he said, I could tell them some stories.
Well,
but I will ask him if I can give him your.
And if there's anybody else mm-hmm. you know you think would like to talk to you, share that information mm-hmm. with.
I talked to Rose Larder. She was one of the mothers.
Okay.
I talked to one of her daughters and told her that I was going to give you her phone number.
Okay.
But she's going to
Aruba.
Ooh. She's going to, so nice. She won't be back for about a couple of weeks.
Okay.
I'm going to say to get her back. So I was going to give you her number.
Okay.
And so she told me it would be okay to give you the number.
Okay.
And then she's got Miss Annie J. Hicks. Her children live on the same street right mm-hmm. in front of us.
Kenny is then back in...
he's back in Maryland.
Yes, he's back up in Maryland. I have his email address. I'll ask, contact him and see if he will talk to you about his experience. Who else? Roy. Even Tootie, that my brother is married to, Tootie Tucker, she shares some insight that I had never heard about. Even just going from Bushell to Morganton High.
It was a chore.
And it was a chore. And we sit there one evening and just talked, and I said, well, I didn't know that this happened to you mm-hmm, all, too. I thought it was just me.
Yeah.
But it's not just me. There's others out there.
Yeah.
The high school was a focal point. That's what everybody was focused on, the high school, because there were five of us going down.
Mm-hmm.
And we got most of the publicity, but it wasn't what everybody thought it was.
That's
I know, they thought it was...
I think the only, out of five of us, I think me and Patricia Toms are the only two that are still living.
Okay.
The other three,
Patricia
Eugene Thomas, Charles Pointing, and
Lorraine.
My sister Lorraine, of all people I forget. Mm-hmm. Sister,
they deceased,
and me and Patricia Toms are the only ones that are still living.
Okay.
Now, Irvin was in your class, too. Right? Yeah, he was over there.
Irvin
is deceased.
But he wasn't dead then?
No, he was. He should have been there with you.
He went to Olive Hill that last year.
Oh, they kept some at Olive Hill.
No, I guess it was his choice.
He wouldn't go.
He didn't want to go.
Okay.
Because there's only five of us.
Mm-hmm. So he did his senior year, finished on out at Olive Hill. Is that what he did?
No. The next year, everybody went to Morgan.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
But first, there was only
Rosetta's number.
Okay. Thank you.
She's going to a room, but I told her.
Rosetta Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And she said she would be when she would. She said, yeah, I'll talk to her.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody wants to get a little bit of that off their chest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all these years later, it's remarkable how you can just relive those memories.
It's so intense.
Yes, it does.
It comes right back
and
up.
When somebody like brings it up again.
Yeah, it comes right full force. I'm like,
oh, I'm reliving this over again.
Wow. It is. It's relived. And it comes
well,
so
does
vivid.
It help to tell your story?
It does.
After
it does.
All this time.
It really does.
Because mm-hmm. we've suffered in silence. We've suffered among ourselves.
Yeah.
But to be able to speak it and know that people are going to know,
mm-hmm.
it's like a relief.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel. It's like good. A relief.
Just you know, the memories of how people treated back then.
Yeah.
You wouldn't treat a dog like
no.
some
right.
way we were treated.
You know? Yeah. And they felt like it was okay to
yeah.
treat you like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. They felt like we that's what we deserved.
Yeah.
We didn't mm-hmm. deserve no, no it was humane treatment.
Yeah. Trying to get a quality education. Go back to, you know, mm-hmm. the way you were living or something.
Yeah.
It was kind of rough. It was kind of rough.
Yeah. Well, I am so thankful to y'all for doing this because it's a story that needs to be remembered mm-hmm. and told and thought about.
Exactly.
You know, it really needs to be thought about. And, oh, yeah, if you consent, give me your consent so I can have it on the tape since I'm not doing all that written stuff that we do at universities. And, Andrea, I need your name
okay.
in there.
It's, well, people call me Andrea and Andrea, so whatever you
spell.
A-N-D-R-E-A, Chambers Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E.
And now, what do you prefer? Because I go back and forth between Andrea and Andrea.
Well,
what do you prefer?
I'm going to tell you, like I tell everybody else, I'm not hung up on the name.
Okay.
And so, if you call me Andrea, I will answer. If you call me Andrea, they call me Andrea.
You know, answer.
I just respond. I'm not hung up on it. If it sounds close to it, I'm going to accept it.
Now, I'm the opposite.
Yeah.
They call me Christoba, whatever. Just don't call me no Christobel. Ain't no bell on the end of it. You can call me anything. Just don't call me Christobel. Yeah.
Christobel. And you spelled your name for us at the beginning,
yeah.
so we'll have that on the record.
Yeah, because everybody misses it.
Good, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you got to make sure, help right. me make sure I get that right.
Yeah, it's right.
Richard Johnson, you have my consent to use this information.
Thank
to,
you.
And Andrea, you have my consent to use this information.
All right. Thank you. Thank you all so much.
I need
this
to say.
Has been amazing.
Christopher Ferguson, you have my permission as well.
Thank you. Thank you all. Well, I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your day.
You as well.
And I'll let you know when the next piece of the story runs.
Okay.
Try to save you a copy of it.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
And let me know when it runs because I'm going to go buy paper and send it to my friend.
Okay.
Tell him, get your pain out.
Get ready to sniffle and cry. Yeah. And, you know, they do an electronic version of it, too, that you can get it online. But the thing is, you got to be a subscriber.
Yeah. Oh, most of the time, that's it.
So it's...
I've enjoyed this. I'm making
sense. Yeah, I've enjoyed it too. Yeah. Good. I've gained some insights just from listening to y'all that, you know, never even thought of.
Mm-hmm. Rosetta told me, said, you know who ramrod all, because I was talking about how bad it was. She said, you know who ramrod all that? She said, Lucille and Mildred. She said, you know Lucille and Mildred was one that ramrod.
Got it all going.
Yeah.
The intentions were real good.
Them too.
And years later, it started benefiting.
Yeah.
At first, when we
not they children.
Right.
Hey, we felt like they threw us in the pool.
We were guinea pigs to experiment and make it better.
Well, Geronimo, tell your mother I say hello.
I will.
All right, you take care of yourself. It's good seeing you.
But it's good.
Yes.
We need to have a seven mother party. Get everybody together.
Yeah. Have a reunion.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sure could.
Yeah.
Let's
see,
likewise, take care.
Okay.
It's good seeing you.
Leslie, thank you.
Thank you all.
No,
appreciate you.
All right. No, thank you guys.
Now, is this where you go down to the Carolina?
I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is.
Can we get out that way?
Yeah. Do you need any help with that?
No, it'll be a quick tear down. So thanks so much,
all
Geronimo.
Right,
I appreciate you.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too.